Welcome to YourBostonSports.com. I'm Rob Goodwin, along with my co-host John Korn.
Hello, everybody. Beautiful day out, isn't it?
Beautiful day. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Middle of December.
Christmas at Fenway's going on right now.
Wow.
Saw a little,
and they're outside, I'll bet.
They are. They're outside. I saw a little bit of it on Nesson. It's just being broadcast for a couple of hours.
It's got to be in the upper 50s right now.
Easily.
December 12th.
Easily. It's not 50s or 60.
Yeah.
Actually, I just figured out it's 61.
It's 61.
61
yeah.
degrees.
Yeah, you're able to stick your finger in the air and know exactly what the...
Yes, exactly.
What your temperature is. So when you take your temperature, do you stick your finger in your nose or...
No, not normally. Not normally.
I'm sorry, that was rude.
So the Sox have been busy.
It was funny, though.
Very funny. Dave Dombrowski's been very busy.
Yeah, and he's on the move. They're on the move.
You got David Price, first of all. I mean, it goes without saying what kind of presence he is in this rotation.
And Kimbrel.
Kimbrel was a big one.
I mean, he's only 27 years old, and he has 255 saves. And that's a great resume.
Right, and a lot of people thought that the Red Sox would do the same old thing and say, yep, Koji will be fine, 42 years old, no problem. But obviously, they're making decisions now that they have to make, and that the same old decisions aren't going to work because people get a year older, and they were in last place. And obviously... Dave Dombrowski understands they've got to make some changes.
And the fact that they outbid everybody for Price means they're not in rebuilding stage. They're going after the postseason.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then don't forget, I mean, they also got the outfielder, and I keep messing up the Chris's, the Chris Davises, because there are two of them. But they got Chris Young from the Yankees, who hits right-handed pitchers very well. He's been a very good player for several years, and you know, he could step in a starting role if necessary. But you know, what I kind of wonder is, where does that leave Brock Holt? If Brock Holt is going to be your fourth outfielder, which I guess he's not, then they need to find at bats for him, and it looks like it may not be in the outfield.
And we could see a trade. We could see a trade looming up ahead. I mean, maybe they're not done. With the big signings, but, you know.
Yeah, they may not be done, but I would not think they would trade Brock Holt. I mean, he's like a young Ben Zobrist.
Yeah.
You know?
Well... So they would have their outfield would be Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, correct?
Yep, Rusney Castillo,
and
then you got Chris Young fourth, Bryce Brock Holt if necessary.
Yep, and the infield's all set. Well, I mean, if they have if Shaw plays first base, the infield's all. I mean, I'm. What do you think about the theory of having Hanley Ramirez play first base?
Well, I think it's it's a nice thought, but the reality is that they have to be trying to move him, and you know that there are several clubs in the major leagues that would kill for a right-handed hitter like that.
The only thing is the Red Sox would have to pay part of his salary, which they probably would have to do.
And
they need to unload him. Of course, David Ortiz is retiring this year.
But do you really want to put Hanley Ramirez in place of Ortiz next year and suffer with him for this year?
I don't want Hanley Ramirez on my team.
Right, right.
I really wouldn't. That was the biggest mistake I ever saw the Red Sox make as far as a big contract.
Yep.
They're usually very good at signing. They're very good with the free agent signings.
Right.
They've got a good history of that.
They've had a couple of bad ones.
You know,
Carl Crawford comes to mind, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's an easy one to pick on. But, you know, the other thing is that the 25-man roster as it stands now is going to change. They've got three catchers, and Dombrowski has said he does not want to carry three catchers. So if Vasquez is not ready, then he could factor in somehow of not being on this roster. I don't know how. If he's healthy, they can't put him on the DL.
Can they put him in a minor league for one more year?
I assume he has options.
Yeah.
But I think Swihart's the one that has more options. But I cannot see him at AAA.
No.
I think
Swihart is their starting catcher as it stands now,
right,
don't
right.
you?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I also see, you know, Devin Marrero is on the 25-man roster, obviously an infielder. And, you know, they just moved Garrett Caccini because I think he's pretty much – I think he's maxed out it with the Red Sox. I think he'll be a good player with the Brewers. But Marrero's another one who could be traded and packaged maybe with – Hanley Ramirez and cash.
Or maybe Buchholz. Maybe somebody will take Buchholz and Ramirez, of course.
Well, I
think Buchholz got a worse reputation than Ramirez.
Yeah, they've already dealt one starter. That's the thing. They've already dealt one starter.
Who?
Miley.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know, he's left-handed, so you don't think of him You know, as one of the right-handed starters.
Of course, nowadays, Buchholz gets $7 million next year. If by today's standards, that's a steal. Even if he only has 10 good starts.
Right, right.
That's insane, but...
The post on Facebook the Royals being interested in Buchholz. I don't know if you saw some of the responses. I'll buy his plane ticket out of town. Let him be on somebody else's DL. Somebody called them rickety crickets.
watch him win 20 games this year.
And that's the thing. Now, it was pointed out by Michael Felger of CSNNE that John Farrell said, well, look, we've got guys that can eat up innings. We have, obviously, Price. And he lumped Porcello and he lumped Buchholz in the innings eater category, which seems to imply 200 innings, but yet Buchholz has only pitched 190 innings once, and I think Porcello has hit 200 innings once as well. So I think they're asking a lot and they're hoping for a lot from those two guys. I don't know if they'll get it.
Well, you never know if anybody's going to get produce, you know, except for Bogarts or someone like that, you know.
He's
the only sure, and even then people get injured, you know. You got to put the best team on the field, and then luck has to be with you.
Well, you know, I mean, Betts and Bogarts stand on their own as really keys to this team.
And I think Shaw is going to be a good first baseman.
I think so too. And then let's go over a couple of the moves that have been made recently. Aside from the Red Sox trading Wade Miley, the Angels got Zach Greinke, so he was kind of the next domino to fall after David Price.
Diamondbacks got Greinke.
Diamondbacks. No. And Dodgers signed Chase Utley. Okay, not such a big deal. I mean, the Braves got Shelby Miller. That's pretty impressive.
I thought the Cubs did. No?
No, the Braves did.
The Cubs made a big signing.
The Cubs signed John Lackey for 2 years.
And someone else.
Yes, and then...
An outfielder.
Jason Hayward.
From St. Louis, yeah.
Jason Hayward, yeah.
Now, what's his name? Did he sign with anybody yet?
I'm sorry. Ben Zobrist also signed with the Cubs as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, is Theo feeding the monster here? Like he did in Boston in the later years? I don't know. I think he's going for it based on them overachieving last year. Interesting thing, Chris Davis, the pitcher, re-signed with the Royals. Mm. And Chris Davis, the outfielder for the Orioles, was offered 7 years, $150 million, and then they yanked the offer back.
So they found out something about him. Maybe he's injured or something.
Or, I mean, supposedly they want to start negotiating again, so I don't know what that means. We meant to offer you more money. We're going to pull this offer back and give you more. I don't know. Leave it to Dan Duquette.
Who knows? Did Cueto sign with anybody yet?
Not yet. He wanted to sign with the Red Sox. Did you hear that?
Maybe he will.
I don't know.
There's one thing I've learned over the years. You never know what these guys are going to do. The players or the general managers or the owners. You just never know.
Right.
Did you think Price would go to the Red Sox?
No. I thought that was a chance, but...
Never.
Well, they needed somebody.
Yeah.
And they needed one of those guys. They needed Greinke. They needed Price.
Yeah.
The Mets made some pretty big deals. I don't know if you heard about this. You know, they've got great young pitching.
Yeah.
They acquired Neil Young. Neil Walker, second. See, I got my Youngs mixed up because there are two of them. They acquired Neil Walker from Pittsburgh, a second baseman. So that's one replacement. And then another big one was they signed Asdrubal Cabrera to be their shortstop. So that completely changes them up the middle. And I think it makes them stronger. And I don't know what they're going to do as far as outfield depth and production. But, you know, the Mets have made those two pretty big moves.
So has anybody mentioned the fact that the Cubs and the Red Sox are both making moves that they're going to be in this thing for half a dozen years?
Yep.
Both teams.
Knock on wood.
Can you imagine that'd be the most watched World Series of all time?
That would be. Absolutely.
The Cubs and the Red Sox.
No question.
That'd be something. The 100-year-old stadiums and yeah.
Well, plus you know the Cubs. Theo is president. I think president of baseball, at least. I don't know if he's president on the business side. But you also have Jed Hoyer as his general manager. And then on the Red Sox side, one of his proteges, Mike Hazen, is the GM of the Red Sox. Although it's obvious who's pulling the strings. It's obvious who has final say or primary say on everything, and that's Dave Dombrowski. But Mike Hazen is the GM who, you know, who worked under Theo Epstein. So
now Epstein is he's president. He's equivalent to what Dave Dombrowski is doing in Boston.
Yes, he is.
So the only person he answers to is the owner.
From what I understand, that's correct. Yep, exactly. So, you know, are we back to the glory days of the American League East? I mean, every team feels like they're in it now. You got the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Rays, Red Sox, Yankees maybe, maybe not. But are we going back to it being the toughest division in baseball? Because it certainly was not last year.
No, the National League Central is still got to be the toughest in baseball, right?
Is that because of the Cubs?
Pittsburgh, Cubs, Cardinals.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any division with three teams that good. Do you?
Well, what about the National League East? You got the Nationals, you got the Mets.
That's it.
Those are the only
National League West. You have the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yep.
And you have the Diamondbacks now.
Right, and don't forget,
they could be
who the Dodgers' new manager is. Dave Roberts. Good for him.
The guy that broke the curse.
Now, I wonder if he's too mild-mannered to manage a team like the Dodgers. He is very mild-mannered. But
some mild-mannered guys can motivate people. Some people are motivated that way. Some people are motivated with a Lou Piniella-type personality.
Sure,
it's a strange thing. You see it on the football lines, you know?
Well, Lou Piniella was a pretty mild-mannered guy, right?
Except very mild-mannered.
Unless somebody got him mad. or if he kicked dirt around, or if he kicked his hat around. Otherwise, he's pretty mild-mannered.
Actually, he was. Did you ever see an interview, a one-on-one interview by him?
No.
He's a completely different person. That was just his style of managing.
I'm sure Earl Weaver was pretty mild-mannered, too.
Those guys would be in jail today.
What do you think Earl Weaver? Is he mild-mannered, too?
No. Especially when he turned his hat back and stuff. Billy Martin was very mild-mannered.
Well,
Dick
Williams was pretty mild-mannered, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. So was Billy Martin. Very, very mild-mannered. I saw a great movie the other day, 61.
Oh, that was good?
It was great. Yeah. They showed the dynamics of Mantle and Maris, what they were really saying in the background. Like, they didn't care. You know, they just wanted to win the pennant.
Yeah.
And the press is stirring up a rivalry between the two of them. And Mantle goes to Maris, "Are we rivals?" I guess so.
That's funny.
They were both in the Midwest. And it was very well done.
You mean
how
the press back then portrayed things isn't really how it was? Back then, all you had was the print media, right?
Yeah, and they don't, not like now, where they tell you exactly what's going on, and they don't put their own opinion in anything today.
Not at all. I'll never forget late last season watching the baseball show, and sorry, I'm going to say this, Bob Neumeier, you know, things were not going well, and he said, "Do they even know what they're doing?" And it's like, well, no. I guess they do now. You know, they obviously need to make a change with Ben Charrington. They need to make changes in that hierarchy. And I guess they do know what they're doing because they got their guy in Dombrowski. And if they didn't get Dombrowski, you know that they were going to make another change to really change the course of this team because, you know, the vacuum left of Larry Lucchino is a big one. It was going to be a big one, so they were going to fill that vacuum somehow. And boy, they did with him and moving Sam Kennedy up into president of the team,
mm-hmm.
And they really did it.
But it's amazing. The press knows more than the manager, the owners, the scouting. They know more than the players. They're all experts.
Well, I get all my information from Sean McAdam because he knows all.
Oh my God.
You know, he knows.
I'd
he
want
knows.
$20 million a year too if I had some moron like Neumeier.
Wait,
telling me that I didn't know what I was doing when I knew exactly what I was doing.
The difference of Bob Neumeier, I wouldn't quite say he's a moron, but you know he does have those points of view, and that's his job
to get ratings.
Well, look, if that's what you say about Bob Neumeier, what do you say about Michael Felger?
Or us?
Or Tony Maserati, for that matter.
We know even less than they do.
Tony Maserati was surprised that the Red Sox didn't feed us the same line of, you know what, with Koji is going to be fine and Tozawa is going to be fine. Since when did the Red Sox care what they tell Tony Maserati? Come on. Do they really care what they tell him? Tony Maserati said he's going to feed me the same line that they've always fed. Really?
John Henry's interview when Dombrowski for the job. Well, make sure we tell Tony Maserati about what we're doing here. He's got to know.
That's right.
We need his permission.
We need his tacit approval. Tacit approval.
But it's been going on forever. I guess that's the point I was making about that movie, 61. There's a scene where Mantle and Maris, I guess Maris had a real problem with the he was sensitive. Mantle didn't care, you know. He goes, they wouldn't take me in the Army because I had bad knees. They called me a draft dodger. I don't care, you know. They were talking like that, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, so they just do things. They say things to get people to read the news back then, to get people to read the newspapers, and
yeah,
you know.
Hey, you got to do something for the kid on the street corner with all those newspapers to sell.
Yeah,
you know,
and guys like general managers of teams and players have to learn to live with,
that's
with
right.
that kind of, you know,
exactly
stuff.
Hey, we'll touch on real quick. Very exciting game last night, Celtics against the Warriors in Boston.
Oh, man.
The Warriors had a 23 game winning streak this year.
Double overtime.
The Celtics were down by 10 late in the third. And you know, you saw Isaiah Thomas with a big bucket to tie it up, and you know, they just lost at the end. Wow! I mean, there were a lot of people in the Boston media, and they know everything, that said the Celtics would beat the Warriors, and they weren't far off. The Celtics said they made a big statement to the whole league of what kind of team they are.
Speaking of geniuses, the Patriots, who Belichick really is one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is Gronkowski going to be ready for the playoffs, you think?
I would think so. He's questionable for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which means he might play.
They're already going to win the division. I would let him rest his foot.
Well, he's questionable, so he might play tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would say it's unlikely. Edelman is definitely out, although he's back at practice too, mm-hmm. with a broken foot a couple weeks later, which is unbelievable.
Steroids.
The only problem is, they've lost two in a row, and now they go up against Houston, with old friend Vince Wilfork. Romeo Crennel is their defensive coordinator, and even though he broke his hand in practice, he's still playing J.J. Watt, who's one of the best defenders in the whole league.
But they're 10-2, and they're four games out in front, which means they're going to win the division.
Well, I think they're kind of in a fight for the bye week, but yeah, they haven't clinched yet, but yeah, they should win the division. The question is, are they going to get a bye? They really want one.
Because of their injuries, yeah.
Yeah. I thought last week was a little bit too early to be talking about hat and T-shirt day.
I just want to see Goodell hand Brady that Super Bowl trophy.
That'd be nice.
That'd be great.
That'd be nice. So, you know, going back to the Celtics a little bit, you know, they had a couple of games where Brad Stevens was really not happy with how they were playing, and he really let him know, and he actually said it publicly, and now look what they did against the Warriors. So maybe this is a really good sign of things to come.
He looks like a kid, doesn't he? How old is he?
He does. No, he's what, the year three with the Celtics?
He looks the same age as the players.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he is.
Yeah. But so it seemed like, you know, at this early stage, he's getting some production out of the team. They almost won last night against the Warriors, as we said. So, you know, it's an exciting time to be a Celtics fan. I think things are looking up. I think they've got some really good players. They made at least one acquisition that I'm pretty sure is a
good
one.
How the Bruins look this year?
You know, we'll have to ask one of our Bruins experts next time we have a show.
Yeah, I haven't paid any attention.
But Jay Crowder is one of my favorites. Kelly Olynyk had 28 points last night. You know, so you know, it's an exciting time to watch the Celtics be up and coming. And with that, I think we'll conclude the show today. So again, happy holidays. Hope everyone at Fenway is having a great time at Christmas at Fenway today. And have a great day.
And we'll be going to
the
Winterfest in Winter Weekend in the third week of January, is it?
Yeah, January 23rd at Foxwoods. Yep. Looking forward to that.
Awesome.
With us and thousands and thousands and thousands of Red Sox fans like it was last year.
And dozens of players and front office people.
That's right.
We didn't realize how many people were there until I watched it on TV later on.
Right, right. Yeah, looking forward to that. It should be a great day.
All right.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great day and happy holidays.